Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus said, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. Family, this year we've been charged to take his word to the world. Amen? And already our lifestyle, our habits, our character have been challenged. Our relationship with God has been challenged. Our thoughts about God, our thoughts about ourselves and others are being questioned. And the message of our personal ministry is under interrogation. God is putting us under a microscope to see if we are equipped to take his word into the world. Our ministry has undergone lots of change and transformation in the past 14 years. Do I have two or three witnesses that know what I'm talking about? And we're going to continue to change and shift and evolve because God has said a long time ago, this ministry is a fast-moving train laying the tracks as we go. He said we are a movement, not a monument. We are an organism, not an organization, and we're built not upon religion, but on relationship. He said it's not about our destination, it's about our predestination. This ministry has had as many as 400 members and as few as 7. But God says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am present and in the midst. So regardless of the number, where two or more are gathered in his name, he is with us. And in all these years, there's never been a lack of vision, teaching, promise, no matter how many or how few. God is faithful to this house, family, and his promise is to bless us. His promise is that our name is going to be a blessing. His promise that whoever curses us, he will curse. So it doesn't matter our number. But just so you know, our new number is 50 because God has been busy pruning and purging and preparing us for the great and glorious work that he intends to be done through us. He's making room for the new family members. Amen. He's making room for new people to be planted in this garden. He's sending kingdom builders, and he promises that they're going to be coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. He said from every direction that he has scattered the fallen, from those same direction, he's going to send the chosen. So he says, don't trust in appearances. Be obedient to my word. Release the dead weight, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That being the case, God has sent me to you on this day to come from the theme, let go and let God. Let go. And let God, with a sub theme of little becomes much when you place it in the master's hands. Is anybody gonna help me preach this one today? in taking his word to the world, God is challenging us to do some evaluations. We've got to ask some tough questions of ourselves in order to be prepared and equipped to take the message into the world. We've got to ask ourselves questions like, is my message in line with my mission? We've got to ask questions like, is my sexuality more important than my spirituality? We've got to ask ourselves, is God really the head of my life? Today, we're going to be in Judges. We're going to be in 2 chapters, 6 and 7. And you can feel free to follow along if you want to, but the story's going to be told today because it would take too long for it to be read. Amen? So we're going to tell the story, but you can check it out and make sure that the facts are accurate as we go along, or you can just trust and believe that the Holy Ghost is running this thing. Amen? So God has promised the Israelites from the time of Moses that they will be blessed if they obey him, and they will be cursed if they disobey him. And a part of the curses come in God allowing other peoples to take over or to overtake the Israelites. So in Judges chapter 6, we find the Israelites in a backslidden state where a people called the Midianites have taken over, taken charge, got the Israelites living in caves and whatnot, and they are cruel to the Israelites. They are mean to the Israelites. When the Israelites try to put a crop out there, they will go and stomp the crop out and build houses on their crop. They'll kill their animals and their cattle so that they won't have anything to eat. Just mean. So finally the Israelites got tired of it and they cried out to God and said, Lord, will you help us? And he had to remind them, well, you've been serving other gods. You've been falling in line with the Amorite God and the Midianite God, and you forgot who I am and what I have done for you, but I have heard your cry. Even though you've been disobedient, even though you haven't done what you were supposed to do, God said to the backslidden Israelites, I heard your cry. Isn't it good to know that even when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, even when we're not working out what God has already told us we're supposed to work out, he will still hear us and answer our prayer, even though we do not deserve it. Is anybody glad about that today? So God went to a young man by the name of Gideon. Gideon was at work, minding his own business, doing his own thing, not trying to ruffle anybody's feathers and not trying to be in charge of anything. But an angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and called him Mighty Warrior. Gideon wasn't one of the fighting men. He wasn't one of the ones that were chosen to go. He said, how can I be called a mighty warrior and I'm from the weakest tribe and the smallest tribe? How in the world could you say that kind of thing to me when you see the situation that my people are in? And the angel begins to give Gideon instructions about what God has called him to do. And he said that he's going to deliver the Israelites out of the hands of the Midianites. Gideon needed confirmation because this is a huge undertaking for someone who's never led an army to lead an army towards another army that they stand in the, what do you call it when you're smaller than the larger one? The minority. They were in the minority, and yet God said that you're going to win this battle. Are you still with me? So he needed a few confirmations, and he made the confirmations very specific, and God did everything that Gideon asked so that Gideon would not doubt, so that he wouldn't have any fear. I know a little something about confirmations because, first of all, when God called me to preach, I said, Lord, why did you call me to preach? I'm a woman. He told me because Satan has taken my men captive to do his will. I said, well, if you called me to preach, I'm going to need 30 confirmations in 30 days. Don't you know God gave me a confirmation every single day for 30 days so that I would never turn back on what he called me to? I know something about some confirmations. If God tells you something and you want to be sure of it, it's nothing wrong with asking for a confirmation, for 30 confirmations, for 45 confirmations, however you need, however many you need to be completely and totally convinced that it's God. So he had, but I think just about 3 confirmations, and he was convinced that it was God. The Lord told him to assemble the fighting men. 32,000 men came together. 32,000, and they were still smaller than the Midianites. 32,000 men came together, and they were ready to go to battle. They were ready to be led by Gideon. They believed in him. They were ready because they were tired of living in the conditions that the Midianites had forced them to live in. You know, when you get tired of something, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you might be ready to do some stuff that you wouldn't normally do. But once you get to that place where I don't want to live like this anymore, what do I have to do to make that change? We'll be willing to do it. We might be scared. We might not know how it's going to turn out, but we can't continue to live like this. 32,000 fighting men came together to go to battle with Gideon. And then God said, Gideon, there's too many men. With all these men, when you go and defeat the Midianite army, you're going to take credit for yourself. You're going to say, we did it with our own power and our own might. So go to the men and tell them, ask them, if any of you is trembling in fear, you're released. You can go home. The Bible says 22,000 left. Not 22. Because 22 wouldn't have made a difference. 22,000 were trembling with fear and left. So Gideon was left with 10,000, right? You helping me with the math? 10,000. Okay, we can work with 10,000. We got tens of thousands. We can work with this. Gideon, says the Lord, you still have too many. Go on and take them over there to get some water, and I'll weed them out over there. So some of the men got down and cupped the water in their hand and lapped it up from their hands. Others got all the way down on their knees and lapped it up directly from the water source. God told Gideon, those who lapped it up directly from the water source are released. We want to keep the ones that cupped it in their hand and lapped it up from their mouth. We want to release the ones who took their eye off of the battle. We want to release the ones that were not conscious and deliberate about the fact that I'm a soldier at all times. I have to be ready at all times. I can't afford to take my eyes off of the battle. They're not fit for service, so let them go home. The ones that cupped it were able to continue to see what was in front of them. The ones that cupped it were able to see what was going on around them. So those are the ones, Gideon, that I want you to keep. 9,700 lapped it up from the water source. We had 10,000. 9,700 couldn't keep their eye on the prize. They were released. And Gideon was left with how many? Gideon was left with 300 men. Not even a tithe on the army he started out with. Not even a tithe on the 32,000 men that he started out with that were in the minority from the beginning. But somebody needs to understand that God don't care about numbers, because if he is on your side, you are in the majority. If God said, you're not going to die, if God said, I got this, if God said, be still and know that I'm God, if God said, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's, then we need to believe it. Just like Gideon. So God left 300 out of the 32,000 that started off with Gideon, because all those men weren't fit for service. I'm trying to tell you, little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. Somebody needs to understand that we need to let go and let God. So God armed Gideon and the 300 fighting men, not with weapons of warfare. He armed them with trumpets and a glass jar with a torch in it. What? What is that supposed to do? I need a spear. I need a javelin. Can I get a cat of nine tails or something? He gave them a trumpet and an empty jar with a torch in it. And before they were sent out, God wanted to make sure that Gideon was confident. And he said, I'm just going to give you one more confirmation so that you don't have to worry about your numbers, Gideon. Go on down to the Midianite camp and listen in the tent and hear what they're talking about. Go on and take one of your fighting men with you and go ahead and hear what they're saying. So Gideon and his friend went on down and they listened in to the tent, and one of the Midianites was talking about a dream that he had had, where a big old roll of bread rolled down on the camp and destroyed everybody. And he told his friend, and his friend said, I can interpret that for you. I can tell you that that's Gideon's army, and they are coming to destroy us. And that interpretation filtered through all. I mean, they probably had three times as many as the 32,000. So at least 90 to 100,000 people. They had it filtered through the camp, and everybody started to believe it. I don't know if you understand, but God is about psychological warfare even before he gets to the physical warfare, because he put that dream into that man's mind, and then he put the interpretation into the other man's mind, and it made all the Midianite army afraid. They got scared, and Gideon heard this, and he felt good. He was like, okay, God has given this into our hands. We got this. We ain't got nothing to worry about. So they went on back, and then he divided his 300 men into three different parts. So there was 100 here, 100 here, 100 here, all surrounding the Midianite camp, which was down in a valley. They were up above them, and they had their trumpets, and they had their glass jars with their torches. Are you still with me? And he said, when I give the signal, say, this is for God and for Gideon, and blow your trumpet all at the same time. I'm talking about some most psychological warfare, because if you can imagine the sound of 300 trumpets blowing at the same time, that's got to be scary. And then he told them to smash the jars down at the same time and pick up that torch. So you hear this trumpet blast, you hear this crashing sound, and then you look out and all you can see is light above you. That's got to be scary. Because here's the thing that people don't talk about when they tell this story. Because see, when you have an army, not everybody has torches. It might be one torch for every 20 people, maybe one torch for every 100 people. So they look out and they see all these torches. They think every torch represents 10, 20, or 100 people per torch. So they went and they did exactly what the Lord said. This is for God and for Gideon. way around the camp. The Bible said the Midianites got so scared, they started fighting amongst themselves and killing each other. God threw a spirit of confusion into the house because they had gotten into their head. Have you ever watched a game and you can tell that the other team doesn't believe they're going to win? Because they've lost so many points, or they never made a touchdown or a basket or whatever. And you can tell they've given up. They don't believe it. They're not even trying. I can't stand watching those kind of games because it's like, it ain't over till it's over. And even when it's over, give your best till the buzzer sounds. But when somebody gets in your head and you start believing, I can't win, then your behavior goes right along with what it is your head is saying to you. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So needless to say, Gideon saw victory over the Midianite army, and Israel was restored. Now, I can't go, there's more fighting that they did in chapters 8 and 9. I don't have time to get into that, but what you need to understand is if God says, I am for you, it does not matter who is against you. It's time to get out of the way of God and let God have his way. I'm still talking about let go. And let God. Now, God stripped Gideon of, what's 22,000 plus 9,700? He stripped Gideon of that number of fighting men. Left him with a remnant. And promised that he would have victory. Now, in order for us to let God have his way, there's some let go that we've got to be willing to do. There's some stripping that we're going to have to be willing to do. God says to strip is to seek, trust, repent, inspire, and protect. I'm going to run it back. We got a strip, family. I'm not talking about the kind on the pole. We got to let go of some things that's holding us back from the promises of God. We've got to seek, trust, repent, inspire, and protect. First thing God says, you need to seek me for every decision that you make. I know you think you can make some decisions by yourself, but I guarantee when you make them without the consult of God, you end up regretting that decision because it's landed you in a place that you didn't intend on going, in a place that you did not want to be. Seek him for when it's time for a new toothbrush. Seek him for when it's time to eat and sleep and dress and stay and sit and go and be. Seek him for every single thing. He didn't promise that it would be easy, but he promised that he's going to always be with us. And he just proved that if he is on our side, it doesn't matter what man can do to me. I stand in the majority. Seek him for every single decision. And when you didn't seek him for a decision, check yourself. Because if you don't check yourself, you're going to do it again. You know what they used to say? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. T, we've got to trust that what he says, he will do. We've got to be able to take God at his word. We have to believe him even when it doesn't happen in the time frame that we wanted it to happen in. We can't give God a time limit. God is not limited or bound by time. God says, have faith in me and I will work it out for you. You don't know how much time you need to get ready for the blessing you've been begging for. Because if all we ask are for what we already have, there's no need to pray. We pray because we're asking for what we want, for what we don't yet have, for what we think we need. And if we are praying, then we are asking God for it. Amen, somebody? So that means that we need to trust that in His perfect timing, it is coming to us. Does everybody get that? Or we have to repent. Don't wait till Passion Week to start repenting from stuff. Don't wait till the first of the year to start repenting from. You can repent every day in your devotion because you did something the day before that you need to repent from anyway. So don't let that list stack up and then you get to 3 months later and you got to write the list down for all the things you asking for forgiveness for. Ask for forgiveness every day. Ask for forgiveness right after you did the transgression. If you're ready to mean it, we need to repent from doubt. We need to repent from a lack of faith. We got this big old sign we look at every time we come up in here, and then we still doubt that God is going to keep His promise because it didn't happen when we thought it was supposed to happen. Get over yourself and your time piece and let God be God. Repent, inspire. God says in order to be stripped and ready for service, we've got to be willing to inspire other people with the word of God. We've got to let somebody else know that there's good news in the family of God that is better in here than it is out there. We've got to inspire somebody to read their Bible for themselves and let them know that God says there's certain things we're supposed to think about and there's other things we're not supposed to spend time thinking about. There's certain things we're supposed to spend our time doing. There's other things we're not supposed to spend any time doing. Somebody needs to know what God's word says and they can find out through your testimony, if you would be willing to open your mouth and inspire somebody else. Protect. That's the P. We've got to protect the promise of God. Instead of getting antsy and throwing it out when it doesn't come when we want it to come, we've got to protect it. How do I protect it, Pastor? You don't tell everybody about the promise. Everybody can't handle the promises of God. Everybody don't understand the promises of God, and not everybody's going to believe the promises of God. So you have to know who you can trust with the promises of God and protect it until it arrives, and then they will all see and know that He is God. We've got to protect the promise with a hedge of faith that will go before us and behind us so that God's promise is intact until it manifests itself here on the earth. Seek, trust, repent, inspire, and protect. In other words, strip yourself of anything and anybody that's been separating yourself from God and get as close to God as you humanly can. Let go and let God. There's a difference, family, between a good decision and a God decision. I've seen a lot of people make good decisions, but one of the things God told me a long time ago is that good is the enemy of God's best. If the Lord did not tell us to do it, it doesn't matter how good it is to him, her, and them, our labor is in vain. The Bible says, unless God builds the house, your labor is in vain. The Bible says, little becomes much when it's placed in his hands. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, family, but in the past 90 days, I've lost about 30 pounds. And in that same amount of time, we've lost about 30 members. Let go and let God. Some people think they left because they weren't done being gay. Others because they weren't done living in their sin. Some left because they disagreed with the teaching. Some left because they stopped believing in the vision. Then there are those who left because they didn't want to commute to church. And still others are seeking some other type of ministry. But regardless of what they think the reason is for their living, the real reason is God released them from ALM. You don't have to believe me. Check your word. We don't have the capacity, nor do we have the authority to remove ourselves. We are not the gardener. We are the branch. When we leave, it's because God has said, it's time for you to go. It's time for you to be pruned, purged, released. And I'm trying to tell you, God's been pouring fresh revelation into this house. I got four revelations that God gave me on this week. Revelation for this house, number one. God said, I'm not impressed with numbers in the church. When pastors come up for judgment, I'm not going to ask them how many members that they have in their church. God said, I'm going to ask them, did you feed my sheep? Did you raise up my sheep? Did you preach? Did you teach? Did you rebuke? Did you counsel? Did you correct? And most of all, did you love my children? God did not send Jesus to the earth with a mega church model. He sent Jesus to the earth with the shepherd and sheep model, where the sheep know the shepherd and the shepherd knows the sheep. He sent a model of covering. And I don't know about you, but I know no one person can shepherd thousands of sheep. There's a relationship that must exist in the church model in order for there to be even a chance for us to be able to evolve into kingdom, because kingdom is based on relationship. Why are you quiet? Revelation number two for this house. God said, I'd rather have few on fire than many on ice. In other words, sometimes church numbers are padded. You got all kind of people coming up in here claiming that this is their church, but they holding the church back from being able to get to kingdom because they don't even know what kingdom is. They don't even desire to be in the place where Jesus came for us to be able to get to. Gideon didn't need a whole lot of people in order for him to have the victory because God was on his side. He said, better the few that are on fire than the many that are on ice. Revelation for the house, number three. God said, there's no shame in being different. He said, you're not to model your ministry behind somebody else's church. We are not to pursue the ALM of yesterday. God said, I'm taking you to places that you have never been before, and not everybody's going to want to go. He said, you are not in pursuit of a number. You are in hot pursuit of a relationship, which is going to lead you to kingdom in your house, your life, and your ministry. Those who will go must want to be taught. Those who will go must desire wisdom in their lives. Those who will go must not avoid correction. Those who go must seek righteousness for themselves. Those who will go must be like-minded with Christ. Those who will go must have an unquenchable thirst for God. Have you ever been thirsty? I mean, thirsty. Where juice wasn't going to get it, soda wasn't going to do it, you needed water without any kind of sweetener or additive, just pure water. To be thirsty is to be dehydrated, to have a dryness of mouth due to a lack of liquid. It's a strong desire to have water. God says to us today, pursue saturation. Saturation is to be completely soaked through and through, to be completely and totally filled with the living waters of God. That should be the goal for every single believer, to be soaked to saturation with the Spirit. There are too many dehydrated disciples and not enough saturated saints. We ought to be dripping with the Holy Ghost, leaving it wherever we go. We ought to have puddles of God wherever we have been. Question. What has God given you charge of? And have you been faithful over it? Your home, your job, your family, your finances, your church, your ministry, your testimony, your health, your voice. He says, if you're faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. Revelation for the house, number 4. God says, service is the muscle of ministry. And without it, we are weak. Without it, we have no power. So we must be about serving others in order to please him. God said, bloom where you are planted, and don't even think for one minute that you can uproot yourself. Because no matter what they say, God is in control. No matter what they say, his will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. God said, I'm not looking for quantity. I'm looking for quality. So stop waiting on a number and start doing my best for your glory. He said, the struggle is over. Did anybody remember God saying that? He told us the struggle is over, but it didn't appear like it was over at first. But I'm here to tell you that everything we need is already in the house, and he has proven that to be true. All of our bills got paid the first week of the month. The only thing left is the rent, and that's due today, and we already had over half of it in the account. I'm trying to tell you, God is moving as a result of us trusting and what he said. When God tells us to do something, we don't have to understand it. Don't wait until you understand it. Just do what he says, and we'll understand it in the by and by. We just ought to believe it because he said it. Because every promise that God makes to us will come true. And that ought to be good news for somebody. That ought to be some shouting material for somebody, because if God said it, we just ought to believe it and know that it's on the way. We ought to be willing to wait on it with joy and peace and patience and love, because God is working something out on our behalf. Does anybody believe that today? Then you ought to stand on your feet. Give God some true worship, because you have reinvested your faith. You have trusted on God that he said it and he will do it. Just come on and open up your mouth and open up the floodgates of heaven with your worship. Give God some praise. Do what you need to do so God knows how much you love him. We've been holding on to our own mind, our own will, our situation, and our circumstance. And God said, let go and let God. He said, don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about what it feels like. He said, be still and know that I am God. He said, sometimes I've got to scale back in order to lift up. So be excited, because God's doing a fresh and a new thing in this house. Does anybody believe that today? I want to know if anybody really believes that on today. Because as a branch, you ought to be glad you did not get pruned. You ought to be excited. You ought to be thankful that God has kept you on the vine, which means he's got something great and mighty and awesome and wonderful in store for you. Think about Gideon. Remember how God stripped him. And when you begin to feel yourself being stripped of people, places, things, finances, resources, ask God for confirmation, and he will let you know what he's doing. He's not here to trick us or deceive us or to make us feel like we're confused. We have not because we ask not. Sometimes we just need to ask God, what are you doing? I want to trust you. I want to do your will, but I'm having a hard time because I don't understand what you're doing. And he may not give you the full revelation, because we can't handle the truth. But he will answer that prayer. He'll give us enough so that we can believe that it is, in fact, God doing what he is doing in our lives. And he wants us fit for service and fit for the kingdom. So there's some let go. that's going to have to be done in order for us to take his word into the world. There's some toxic relationships, there's some negativities, there's some fears and some doubts that we need to let go of today, that we need to release, that we need to allow to be stripped away from us so that we can be ready to be his witness wherever we go. If you know God was speaking to you today and there's some things you may have been even having a hard time letting go of, you already know you're supposed to let it go, but you've been having a hard time letting it go, but now you want to let go and let God. I want to pray for you. Just come on up. Just come on up here.